Let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Now, I've titled this message, God Shall. God Shall. It begins verse 10 with this word, but. But. Now, Peter began this epistle and he told us that his people are the elect of God. These believers scattered throughout were the elect of God, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, through the work of the Spirit separating us unto our God, to obedience, through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says then, throughout the epistle, he tells us various things, exhorts us to do, exhorts us to be of one mind, exhorts us to be united together. Speaking to these, to believers, be united together. He exhorts us to be feed upon Christ, the sincere milk of the Word. He exhorts us to be established upon this rock, the sure foundation, the precious foundation that God has established. He exhorts us to be subject unto the powers that God has placed in this world, knowing God's put them there. There's an order in God's world that He's made the offices He has to glorify His power and His dominion. And He tells us to conduct ourselves in that way. And He's commanded us to be loving towards one another, hospitable towards one another, to be fixed with our hearts in one direction upon Christ, in order that in all the midst of these trials and sufferings in this world, we're not turned about, we're not tossed, and we're not moved and shaken. He tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. And then he comes to this word in verse 10, but. And he tells us here, the God of all grace, the God with whom all grace originated, the God who is the fountain of all grace, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory. If you believe, just as he said in the very beginning of the epistle, we believe it's because God called us. There are no mavericks in His church. There's no mavericks that came some other way, that came some way that is not revealed in this word, that like every other believer came. Every believer that's ever come has come because He's called us. He did the calling. It's by His grace. And notice He says here, it's done. He hath called us. And the gifts of calling of God with God or without repentance. He doesn't turn back. He doesn't uncall somebody He's called. He's called us unto His eternal glory. It's unchanging, unchangeable grace. He said, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ. Who's Christ? He's God's elect. He's God's chosen one. And all His people whom He's called are chosen in Christ. They're the same as Christ in Christ, the elect of God. He's God's perfect servant. He came and fulfilled the righteousness of God, established the law, made it honorable. He did it on behalf of His people. And in Christ, His people are righteous, perfect before God. Who is Christ? He's the beloved Son of God. In Him, His people are the beloved Son of God. Every child here is a beloved child of God, whom He's called unto His glory. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ. Where is He? Where's Christ now? He's risen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Paul said in Romans 6, likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, risen with Him. Where He is, that's where we are. He says that's where we are. The point of this whole epistle, where Peter began, was to assure the believer that our salvation is accomplished. Salvation's of the Lord. It's done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here, after all these things he's commanded, he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you've suffered a little while, or suffered a little, make you perfect. Now the word here is, the God of all grace shall make you perfect. He said these things he's commanded. He didn't leave it just open-ended and say, now do these things. He ends it right where it began. He said, the same God who called us, who brought us into this fellowship, he's going to do the things that Peter says, I've exhorted you to do. He's going to work these things in you. The God of all grace shall make you perfect. The God of all grace shall establish. The God of all grace shall strengthen. The God of all grace shall settle you. And he's going to get all the praise. That's what to him be glory means, praise and dominion. It's his dominion. It's his power and wisdom to do these things. And he'll get them forever and ever. Now, God's got some children in this world that are his elect, that are yet dead in trespasses and in sins. He's got some children in this world that are his redeemed. He's reconciled them unto himself in Christ Jesus. They just don't know it yet. And he's going to come to them. They must hear this gospel. They must be born again of his Spirit. And they must be made willing, brought to be reconciled unto God, to see that the warfare is over. God has done the work. Now, God is teaching you who he's called. Me who he's called. He's teaching us. He says, after that ye, that means you individually, but it also means ye plural. It means us as this one body. He's teaching his body. He's teaching us individually and he's teaching us together. Just like a father teaches a newborn babe. He's teaching us right here together as a newborn babe. As his one body. He's teaching us how to walk, how to talk. He's teaching us how to eat. He's teaching us these things. He exhorts us to do all these things. And then he tells us, but he's the one who's teaching you all these things. And he's doing this, he's making us of one mind so that we strive together and not against each other. He's making us, turning us from ourselves and fixing us on one object, on him. As he's teaching us these things, he's teaching ye together through these sufferings, he's strengthening us. That is, he's making himself to be the food. He's making himself to be our strength, our power, and our wisdom. He's showing us that. He's making us to be settled so that we can't be moved. Settled in this foundation upon this rock. That's what he's doing. He has a foreordained. He prepared beforehand good works that his children shall walk in, that his church shall walk in. He prepared beforehand the works that they shall walk in, that we shall walk in. And he's training us, teaching us, strengthening us, settling us in how to walk in those good works that he's already ordained that we should walk in. And he does this through daily sufferings. Now, when it says after that you've suffered a while, it doesn't mean that the suffering's all of a sudden going to come to an end and then these things are going to be. Since I've been here, somebody's been suffering ever since I've been here. Most of us all at once and together and individually and with each other. And it's going to be that way. It's going to keep being that way. You must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It's not that after, he's just going to bring the suffering to an end now, and then that's going to be it. Then we're going to start walking. He's teaching us to walk through the suffering. He sent these trials and this suffering to teach us how to walk and how to eat and how to be joined together. And he's doing it through family sufferings, each of us individually. But he's doing it especially in this family, his church, his family, the church of God, his body, the church. And in the process of doing this, the amazing thing about it is, as he's teaching us through his word, through his sufferings, and uniting us together in this way, he's going to call out some of his sheep in the process. and teach them what He's teaching each of us. And the Word of God's amazing, and the means He's ordained is amazing. It's all encompassing. It's all folded in together. It is wisdom upon wisdom, wisdom within wisdom. It's just amazing how He's doing all of this through the gospel, through the Word, by the Word. It's just amazing to me. Now, He's told us all these things to do, but He ends here and He tells us, but the God who called you, the God who commands you, He's going to work these things in you. Wherever you find God, say, work out the salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're going to find Him say, it's God that worketh in you. It's God that worketh in you. It's God that's doing the work in you. And now it's going to take suffering. That's how He does these things. But God is teaching His children to believe Him. And He's teaching us to conduct ourselves in a way that manifests that we really do believe that what He's teaching us through His Word is truth. And it's not just some theory. It's real. It is vital. It is truth. And He's doing these things to teach us. And He says so again. Let me read it again now. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye, not only individually, but ye plural together, members together of the Lord's one body, after ye've suffered a while, God Himself, this God of all grace, shall make you, individually, yes, but together as His body, together as His church. And I'm just talking about you sitting right here in this room right now, make up His body. And those who may not be here tonight with us physically, but this body, His members, He's going to teach us. And He's going to make you perfect. He's going to make us, He's going to establish us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to settle us. Now these four words here, we were apt to look over words like this and think, I know what these words mean. These words now, they don't have a conjunction. They're vitally connected because He works all these things. And He works these things Himself. Now, each one of these words here, going to make up our divisions tonight. Going to look at these four words, perfect, or perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I want you to see these four words. I spent a great deal of time studying these words. I don't mean just looking up, going to a concordance and looking up the word perfect. I mean looking up the Greek word, looking up the original word, and then finding where that original word is translated. And it's not always translated perfect. The word that's translated establish is not always translated establish. This word strengthen is only used this one place, the original. But the meaning is taught throughout the word. And this word settle. Looking up the originals of these words, see what they mean. Now this word, the God of all grace shall Himself perfect you, make you perfect. Actually, the word make and the word perfect are the same word. Make and perfect, they're the same word. Exact translated from the exact same original. And the root means, it means to fit. It means to join together. It means to make one. Peter had said here back in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, he said, finally, be ye all of one mind. Be ye all of one mind. Be ye all of one mind. And he tells us in our text, after you suffer a little while, the God of all grace shall make you all of one mind. He's going to make you of one mind. Let me show you where the word's used in other places. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And look at verse 3. This is the same word translated using another word. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. That's the word. Framed. It's translated framed here. They were joined together. They were made one. How? By the Word of God. That's how the worlds were framed together, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that's how God's going to make us one. He's going to make us one by the Word. He's going to make us one not with things that you can see, but He's going to make us one with things you can't see. It's by faith that He makes us one. By faith that He makes us one. Let me show you another place. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. The word perfect there, it's not that there's a word used in other places, perfection, like we think of the word perfection, where you just nothing lacking, you're complete. We are complete in Christ. The believer's complete in Christ. There's nothing to be added. We're perfect in Christ Jesus. But the word here in our text means joined together, made of one mind, making that which is two separate things, one thing. Let me show you this, Matthew 4, verse 21. Same word again. Let me get there myself. Matthew 4, 21. He says here, going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending. You see that word mending? It's the same word that's translated perfect in our text. They were mending their nets. You know what they were doing? They were adjusting, and they were fixing, and they were putting together their nets, making their nets, restoring their nets as they should be. Now let me show you where the words used and the meaning is the same as what is here in our text. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 and look at verse 10. You know, the trouble in the Corinthian church was they all had the right doctrine. And folks can be separated from those who have false doctrine with true doctrine and rally around true doctrine. But you know what's going to truly make brethren one? The living Word. The Word in our heart is going to make us one. The God of all grace is going to make us one. Now let me show you this. This is what Paul's teaching the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be, now see these three words, perfectly joined together. That's one word in the original that's translated perfectly joined together, and it's the same word that says the God of all grace, after you suffered a while, make you perfect. And this is what it means. He'll perfectly join you together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Let me give you an illustration. We like to watch reality shows on television and all. And you ever seen on Survivor, you know how they'll blindfold them and they'll tie them all together with a rope or something like that. So they're all joined together. Or they'll put them together and there's some big obstacle they got to go through. And they're all joined together. They're all tied together with one thread, with one rope. But if one's trying to go one direction and one's trying to go the other direction, and they're all trying to go faster than the slowest one or slower than the faster one, they just stumble and fumble and fall all over each other. And we stand and watch it and just laugh and laugh and laugh. Look how funny that is. Look how silly that is. But when they're of one mind and in step and in judgment, they start moving together and they start going together and moving together. Now let's hear this good news and let's be instructed by this. Peter tells us here in our text, 1 Peter 5:10, he's told us that through the epistle. Be of one mind. Do nothing, as Paul said, don't do anything through strife or vainglory, but be of one mind, of one judgment. And he tells us here, the God of all grace, who called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while. Maybe we try for a while to go our own direction. Maybe we try for a while to handle each other, to make the other go in our direction. Maybe after a while that we fumbled and stumbled over each other like children in a game. The same God, by the same grace by which He called us, by the same Christ who He called us by, who is the head of the body, make you perfect, of one mind, of one judgment, and then, brethren, of strive together as one body, of one mind, and one judgment. The God of all grace shall do. He said, do this. But here's our assurance. Here's where we can rest and be at peace. The God of all grace shall work this in you. Let me show you Hebrews 13:20 before we go further. I'll show you two more scriptures. Hebrews 13:20. Here's how Paul, he ended his epistles the same way. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, that's the same word, in every good work to do His will. Make you of one mind and one judgment, in every good work to do His will. How are we going to do His will? He's going to make us of one mind to do it. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's going to do that. Now, how do I apply that? How do I apply that when I'm dealing with my brethren one another? I have this peace of knowing God's going to work this. He's made His people of one mind with Christ. Peter said that we have the mind of Christ. The man that's not called of God, it hadn't been born of His Spirit, he doesn't have the mind of Christ. He won't have the mind of Christ. These things are spiritually discerned. But He said, but we have the mind of Christ. He's made us of one mind with Him, to rest in Him. How's He going to make us, brethren, of one mind? Making Christ everything to us. Making us see that He's working this work in the hearts of each of His brethren. So, how do we apply that with one another? This Galatians 6. Let me show you what Paul said there. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, or as the marginal reference says, although a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. You see that word restore? It's the same word. Restore. Make him of one mind. Restore. Such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, how do I do that? How do I restore somebody? How do I mend together? How do I frame together somebody in the spirit of meekness? Well, it's to do what Peter's doing right here. It's to do exactly what Peter's doing throughout this epistle. He's reminding us. So we remind each other of what God has done, what He is doing, and what He shall do. That God is the God of all grace. That He's called us unto His eternal glory. That He's done this by Jesus Christ, justly, righteously, perfectly. And that God's going to work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He's going to make us of one mind. It's to remind each other of that very truth of the God of all grace is doing this. And the spirit of meekness is, as we remind each other of that, it's to wait on Him to do it. Wait on Him to do it. That's restoring each other in the spirit of meekness rather than forcing somebody else. The thing about brethren, this is one thing about brethren. God's brethren don't handle each other. They don't handle each other. Well, how do you handle this situation? I take my hand off of it. Put your hand to the work, he said. When you're making the altar, he said, you put your hand to the work and you've polluted it. How do we handle one another? We don't. We do not handle one another. We restore one another. We seek to be of one mind with another. This is a good rule to remember. If somebody is of the mind, in whatever regard it is, whatever Paul says, in every good work, in every good work, if somebody is of the mind, if they're of this one mind, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If they're of that mind, we can be sure, this is a sure rule, if I'm going to turn them from that mind and make them doubt that by saying, no, we can't. That's not being of one mind with Him. He says, by the grace of God, is how we're going to be made of one mind. If we turn each other from that one-mindedness, that's not being of one mind. Now, so we're of one mind. God, we know this. This is where we can rest, though. If somebody says no, then all I have to do is this. Remind them, the God of all grace. Where did grace come from? It came from God. What did we do to earn that? Nothing. Where did it come from? Came from God. Came from Him of His will. And He's called us. Where? He called us. What did we do? He did it. Called us unto His eternal glory. He did it by Jesus Christ. And He says, God shall make us of one mind. So we can rest in that. We can rest there knowing He'll do that. And not be like the folks playing a game, that being mavericks and going this direction and that direction, and too fast or too slow, be of one mind. Here's the second thing. The God of all grace shall Himself establish you. The word here is, He will make you resolutely fixed in one direction. Establish. Now the word establish, here. Let me turn you to Luke 22. Before you turn there, look back up there at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. The word steadfast there is the root word which we get this word establish. Resist him how? Being fixed resolutely in faith. Looking one direction. Looking to the object of our faith. Looking to Christ. Now Luke 22. Let me turn you back there. Luke 22. Before the Lord went to the cross, you remember how that Peter and the brethren were striving. But they weren't striving together. They were striving against each other. They weren't of one mind. They weren't of one judgment. They were striving against each other. And they were boasting that they each were steadfast in the faith. They were boasting that they were established in one direction, looking at Christ. They were boasting of that. Each one of them were. And their hearts, in doing that, their hearts were fixed in one direction, all right. But it was fixed toward themselves. They were each had their hearts turned toward themselves. And they each, in making this boast of their faith, turned their fellow brother to themselves. It was pride. It was the pride of faith, boasting. And they turned the other to themselves. Their word suddenly became this: I have faith in my faith. That was the word. That was what they were essentially saying. I have faith in my faith. Satan loves for a believer to have faith in our faith. Loves that. Absolutely loves that. Would like nothing better than for you and me to have faith in our faith. Because if you do that, you'll look to yourself. That's the direction we'll look. If we do that, we'll defend ourselves. We'll defend our faith. If we do that, we'll think we're self-sufficient. If we do that, we think we don't need to hear God's word proclaimed. We'll think that we don't need our brethren. it will think we can stand alone. Just as much as the devil loves to jump, loves for somebody to think, to look to men in the regard that you think you're going to be saved by some man like a pope or a priest, the devil just as much likes for you to take perspicuity of scriptures as far as you can take it and just stand out there on your own and think, I don't need the word of God and I don't need brethren. Nothing bad. It looked like nothing better than that. Peter went so far as this in Luke 22:33. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready. Right now, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I'm ready. And look back at verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, 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 Simon. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. I've prayed for you in order that your faith will not fail. And he says this, when thou art converted, when your turn, you know the word Peter is a word that is a like a rock, but it means a piece of a rock. It means a little rock. And he's saying, Peter, when you turn from Peter the rock to Christ the rock, when you're converted, strengthen. You see that word strengthen there? It's the same word establish in our text. It means when you're turned from Peter the rock and you're pointed to Christ, you're resolutely fixed on Christ, established in me, the Lord's saying. He said, then point your brethren in the same direction. Point them in the same direction. That wasn't what Peter was doing. That wasn't what the rest of the brethren were doing at the time. They were saying, we won't forsake you. Lord, we won't. I'm ready right now to go into prison with you and into death with you. I'm ready to do that. That was looking to self, being fixed on self, and pointing others to self. And after Peter suffered a little while, the Lord turned him and fixed him in the direction upon Christ. And you know what the fruit was? You know what the fruit of that was? The fruit of that grace was? You know how Peter obeyed the Lord and strengthened his brethren? He did what he's doing in this epistle. He told them what he knew by experience. He told them exactly what he knew by experience. And he, by doing that, he pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling them, God will turn you by His grace. He told them plainly, turn away from yourself and be of one mind, strive together, and look to the Lord. But look at this, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Let's start in verse 6. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist being pointed one direction, but resist by looking straight to Christ, fleeing straight to Christ. And know that this same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. They're going through these same things. Peter knew that, didn't he? His brethren were going through it while he went through it too. But he doesn't end there, does he? Or Peter knew by experience not to end right there. If he'd have ended right there, if he'd have just ended that word and said, now you resist steadfast in the faith, and he would have just talked and talked and talked about our faith, about our faith, about our faith, he'd have done nothing more than what he did when he said, Lord, I'm ready to stand with you right now. But he knew. He knew. No sooner than you start trusting, having faith in your faith, and Satan is sifting you like wheat. And the only way we're going to be saved from that is that Christ Jesus, the object of our faith, that one who is the Savior, that He intercedes for us and won't allow us to be consumed by Him. And so Peter doesn't end there. He says, but, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while, He'll make you of one mind, and He will turn you resolutely in one direction. He'll do that. That's what the word establish means. He'll do that. Now, how do we apply that? Let me run it a little long, but let me show you. I'm going to be shorter on these last two, but let me show you this. How will that be applied? We see how Peter said. He's teaching us here the God of all grace will do this, but listen to Paul. Paul ends 1 Thessalonians 3:11. Listen to what Paul says here. 1 Thessalonians 3:11. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we toward you. To the end, He may establish your hearts. You see that? He may turn your hearts and fix them resolutely in one direction, unblameable in holiness before God. This is what true holiness is to be fixed solely on Christ in the heart, to have our hearts turned towards Him, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. So here's the first thing. God Himself, the God of all grace Himself, shall perfect. He'll make you of one mind, of one judgment. He'll put you together, one mind and one judgment. God Himself shall establish, turn you steadfastly toward Him alone. And here's the third thing. God Himself shall strengthen you. There, nowhere else in the Scriptures is this word, in the original, is this word. It's right here only. We can't find it anywhere else in the Scriptures, but it's taught throughout the Scriptures. It won't do enough if we've been joined together at a dinner table. We sit down at a dinner table together. Won't do us any good if we're just turned in one direction and see that big platter of meat right there on that table is good for us, that we're fixed on it, that we're established right there toward it. We got to also eat it. And it's got to become one in us and actually be our life and actually be our strength. And that's what he's saying here. He's not only going to put you together, he's not only going to fix you looking at him, he is your life. He will be your strength. He will be your wisdom. He will be your power. You see, he's the bread. Christ is the bread. He is our life. It's not that this is a theory. It's not that this is in theory. He is our life. He is the life of the believer. He's the strength of our faith, the life that is our faith. He's the life, the strength that is our hope. He's the life, the strength that is our righteousness. He's the life that causes us to withstand temptations. He is the strength, the life that causes us to oppose the very corruptions that's in our flesh. He's the life, he's the strength that causes us to bear his cross, to bear reproaches for his name's sake. He's the life and the strength to perform the work God's put into our hands to perform as his church, to sound forth the gospel in the midst of a perverse, dry, thirsty, waste-howling wilderness. He's the life to do that. He's the strength to do that. Our strength is not in our wisdom. Our wisdom is not in our wisdom. He is the wisdom. He may take away He may take away the sound mind. But if He does, if the God of all grace hath called us unto His Son, if He's called us to Himself by Jesus Christ, Christ will still be our wisdom, even though we don't have a mind to even know who we are, much less lean to our understanding day to day. If the strength it's not in our power. Our strength's not in our power. It's not in our strength. Christ might put us flat on our backs to where we don't have any strength at all and make us to know He's still our strength. He's our strength. He's our life. One of these days, this body is going to actually have no life in it anymore. And yet, we'll be with God because He's our life. We have eternal life by Him. Christ is all. Our strength's not our money. Christ might break the bank completely, our bank completely, to make us see the riches is Christ. Our riches are Christ, the God of all grace Himself. Our strength is not in any one man, and our strength's not in a host of men. God may take them all away, whittle them down to nothing, to make us see our strength is in the Lord of hosts. Our power is the Lord of hosts. We can't look to any one person. Not me, you, anybody. Christ is our wisdom, our power, our strength, our substance, our sustenance. And we don't behold that any better than when we're just absolutely weak. Absolutely weak. This is what Paul prayed, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. The life that He is, be made one with us in the inner man. And He says, Peter says, in the God of all grace, He'll do this. He'll do this. Isn't He doing it more and more? Isn't He doing it for you personally? He's making me behold more and more Christ is really my life. More and more. More and more. And this is the last thing. The last word. He's going to make you of one mind. He's going to give you the mind of Christ. Mind of with one another. With your brethren. He's going to establish you. Going to fix you solely pointed in one direction. Looking to Christ. And Christ's going to be that strength. He's going to be that life. And this is the last thing. Settle you. I read, some of the commentaries said, well, all these words mean the same thing. If they did, there'd just be one word there. They don't mean the same thing. They're all from different words, and they're all so joined together they can't be separated. But they all have separate meanings, and they all mean something. When He does this, when He's done this in us, He makes us so that we can't be moved. Rooted, grounded, anchored within the holiest of holies, in the very presence of God in Christ Jesus. Rooted, grounded on Christ the solid rock. Not tossed, running from one place to another. Folks run from one place to another for all kinds of reasons. Somebody said something about my kids or it offended me, or somebody said something about this other point thing about me, or somebody wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do, or some whatever. All these different kinds of reasons. Till we end up at the end saying, well, I'm just done with church. Well, right now today, be done with church. Be done with church. In the sense of just doing church. Be done with church. And be joined to Christ. Be members of His body. Be members of His family. Find out what it is to suffer together. To suffer family trials together. What kind of husband would it be after a while he just got tired of suffering all the stuff and he just ran off and said, I'm done with my wife. What kind of father would it be just after a while he just said, I'm done with my child. I'm tired of playing father. What kind of believer would it be that just said, I'm done with church? We get in a family together and we learn what it is to be husbands and wives, what it is to be children through this suffering, and we learn what it is to be under the hand of God our Father, led of Christ our elder brother, the Son of God, made righteous in Him, perfected in Him, trusting in Him, to find out what it is to be together through these suffering, knit together, established in one direction, where Christ is our life, so that we're fixed, so that we can't be moved anymore. Not by doctrine, not by all these waves of different kinds of doctrine, not by waves of trial, not by waves of suffering, but we'd be fixed in Christ and be settled in Christ and no more tossed here and there and running here and there and be settled. It's a very glorious, wonderful privilege God has given us to start in His body right here, all together, as the body is brand new. Brand new. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great privilege to one day grow old and say, the Lord put me in that body, and He showed me what it was to really have brethren. He showed me what it was to really have family. Not a church family, but really a family. People say church family as opposed to all my other types of family. But to be know that this is my family, my real family, my real family, the family of God, be fixed. Let's end with this. Ephesians 3:16. This is what we learn through these suffering. This is what the God of all grace will do. What Peter's not praying as much. Some think he's praying, but he may be. But I think what Peter was saying is the word of assurance. But the God of all grace shall do this. But here's what Paul prayed. He said, Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded. There it is, settled. Settled. No more moved. Rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him, you see Paul saying the same thing, Peter, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory. Where? In the church. That's what Peter's telling us. By Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. How did Paul learn to end his writing that way? And how did Peter learn to end his writing that way? You know what Christ did when He got finished with that Sermon on the Mount? You know what He said? He said, now the man that heeds my words, I liken him to a man that built his house on a rock. On a rock. And the rains came, and the floods came, and the winds came, and it couldn't be moved. You know why? Settled. Settled. Go home and look and tell me. Just go home and look at your houses where you live. And you look at it and tell me if you can see where the foundation ends and the house begins. It's just all house built on a foundation that you can't, it's just all together, the house, isn't it? It's not that there's a foundation and then there's a bunch of stuff built on it. He makes us just one in that foundation. Just one house. Settled in that rock. I'm confident of this. We say do these things, but I'm confident of this. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus after that we've suffered a little. Join, make us of one mind with Christ, together with each other. He will, what was the next word?
Establish.
That means point us in one direction. After you're converted, strengthen. Same word. Point your brethren, Peter, where you've been pointed. Strengthen. He'll be the meat. He'll be the life. He'll be the strength. And He'll make us settled. Amen.